Every festive we wake up with the damn sparrows. But Nzala, no, she's up at 1 p.m. Kari, and we're like, but where you been though? You're opening pots like you cooked.
A combination meal inspired by seven colors is something for everyone. Nando's, fire it up.
He was gone, but only for a few hours. And now, he is back.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Get ready for a brand new episode.
Are you ready?
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Let's go. listening to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's music of Something Soweto. The song is called Tanda Wena. Welcome to the O'Neill Africa Experience on a Friday afternoon. I hope everybody is feeling good. I'm feeling super excited because of our guest for today. As a matter of fact, we have been trying to get this man in studio. I don't know for how long, but it looks like somehow the stars have been aligned in our favor, and we were able to bring this man to join us today. Something Soweto, your name is Samkelo Mdolomba. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, 100%. Samkelo Lelethu Mdolomba.
What does Mdolomba mean?
It means a congregation of people in one place.
So the name Something Soweto, where
basically
does it come from?
Basically crowd. Something Soweto comes from my name Samkelo.
Okay.
And then the thing being my music.
Yeah.
And then Soweto being the place I always represent.
Ah, why do you represent Soweto? Is it because you're from Soweto?
Yeah, because, you know, by design, nothing good is supposed to come from Soweto. You
really? Know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a forced settlement that people, that the apartheid government kind of made for black people, for migrant workers to stay. So it's a place, you know, most of our parents or our grandfathers and grandmothers didn't choose to stay there, you know. And people who choose to stay there now, like, is because I think that we don't have, like, a lot of options that are very affordable. So it's not a place, I think, that was designed to output any greatness. But it does, you know.
So calling yourself Something Soweto obviously is a way of embracing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can't change anything without embracing it at first, you know. At first you need to embrace anything, and then you can change it. You know, you need to work from the inside. It's like a rat going against a elephant, you know. Like, if the rat is really going head to head with the elephant, it's just gonna hit the wall. It's not gonna win. But if the rat is important to the elephant, you know, to the survival of the elephant, then it can change it. Then it can affect the elephant, you know.
Interesting. Very philosophical as well, this man. How much of this, your perspective on life in general, do you bring to your art?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. For me, I feel like I just want to make music most of the time.
Okay.
And I make music from the perspective of, this is who I am. I'm a normal person. I'm trying to make people feel happy. And more than anything else, I'm constantly making music that I want to listen to.
Okay.
So I'm a very selfish, like, musician. And I do that because you find that on radio and many platforms, it's really hard to find music that I like.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's hard to find music? I imagine that there are a lot of radio stations. So when you listen to radio stations, you do not find anything that
hits your
interest.
No, I do. But, like, when do you find it, you know? Sometimes it's like having, like, all the playlists of the songs that you like. And if you, like, I'm 29, so I've gone through a lot of music in my life.
Yeah.
But you find that some music you don't want to listen to at particular times, and some music you want to listen, you know? But, like, it's like you heard a song, you were into a song 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, 4 years later, you're trying to find that song, but you can't find it on your PC, you know? It's not in your life.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what happens in radio and media and most other places, is that we always tune in, and what we find is that they are constantly playing the current stuff. The current stuff,
yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah, so it's hard to find maybe a song that, like, for example, I was listening to a Kanye West song that he did with Paul Wall on his second album called Ride Slow.
Yeah.
Drive Slow.
Yeah.
Just on my drive up here. And
Drive Slow. Homie.
Yeah. And I haven't heard that song in ages. And it's just something in me was like, yo, you need to play this song, you know.
Okay.
And I found it on iTunes, so it's like I had to buy it to actually listen to it, because I had the song before.
So as a creator of music, a performing artist,
sure,
there's obviously a need for you feel like there is a need for radio to embrace music, not just the current stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you playing your part, and how do you think you're going to change the situation?
I just need to be vital to radio, yeah, as far as I'm concerned. So what that means is that I need to make music that radio really likes.
Okay.
So they can play me. So then, like I said, then I can be important, and then I can make some changes. But
don't you think that takes away from your art then? Having to pivot.
Yeah.
In order to appease
A particular
what radio
system.
Yeah, what radio is vibing to at the moment.
Now, it depends where you look at it from. You know, as an artist, I'm constantly creating.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm creating music that I want to listen to. Now, who's to say that this version of music that I want to listen to, you know, is appealing to the majority of the people?
Okay.
You know, who's to say that I can't do that? Well, I can. And Agana Mali is testament to that, you know, because I knew what was missing. You know, I always made songs the way I've made Agana Mali, but the difference with Agana Mali is that I got Sanel, musician, involved.
Okay.
I was like, yo, Sanel, please help me with this song. It's a great song, but like, I knew if I was going to do it the same way that I've done all my a cappella songs and all, you know, it wasn't going to hit radio or any other spot. So I was really aiming for radio. And radio received it so well. And yeah, so, but Agana Mali is not far off from what I do.
Okay.
Because I'm an artist, I mean, my expression is, it always comes from me.
In studio right now, hanging out with Something Soweto, he's got one of the biggest songs. In fact, if not the biggest song, possibly in the continent at the moment. Now, let's just quickly go back to your relationship with music. Where does it come from?
Well, I mean, that's a long story. How far do you want to go?
Just at the point when you realized you had something in you and it resembled a calling.
Yeah, for me, music has always been that thing that people play in the background when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really a thing until, like, I got to a point where I think I was like six, first year of school, grade school, which is grade one. And I started singing. I had a reading book. And I was reading, I was singing the words because I had them memorized. So I was singing the words with a friend of mine. And, you know, 1 minute I was looking at the page reading. The next minute when I raised up my head, there was a whole crowd of school kids around me. And they were watching me sing and they were listening to me sing. And so I got scared and I stopped. And as I stopped, they screamed and said, "Yo, continue." And I ran away. You know, so that's my discovery of, okay, maybe I have something.
Okay.
You know, very early. And then, yeah, I just slept on it for like ever. And after teenagehood, going through some trouble, I was a very troubled child.
What does that mean?
It means like I have a criminal record. Like I've done some really nasty things to society.
How bad is your record, dude?
It's not a joke. It's not funny.
No, but seriously, how bad is your record? Like what?
It's terrible, man. I mean, it's terrible. Like,
what did you do?
Like, I have a criminal record. Let's just say that, you know, I have a very bad criminal record that I'm not proud of. It's not great. But it was a potentially violent crime, but it wasn't a violent crime. And
you were arrested and were you jailed at any point?
Yeah, it involved guns and stuff, you know.
Were you jailed for how long?
I wasn't jailed. I was like put into like a trial.
Okay.
And I went to like mini juvie, that's what I call it.
Okay.
But it's like they call it a place of safety.
Yeah.
It's called Busasa or Diambo in the olden days.
How old were you at the time?
I was like 17 and a half or 16 and a half, not sure. But I did like two and a half months on trial, and then I was released. I was sentenced, but my sentence was suspended, meaning I could go into society and try to fix my ways.
Yeah.
And serve my sentence by not doing anything bad and having the state like constantly monitoring what I was doing.
Did it affect you in any way?
I went to that process and I got to that place and I realized that that's not what I wanted. And so, you know, I found religion in the 2.5 months. I found religion, I found Jesus, and then just later I found music. Now I was reminded of my music when I thought There were people who were constantly visiting that place who came from Christian churches and da-da-da. And they would always say, what was your dream before you started, like, doing all these things? And I remembered, you know, like, I wanted to be a cop at some point. I wanted to be all these authoritative
professions,
you know. But there was always music, you know. And I thought, yeah, I was good at it. Like, when I was five, I did that thing. And the crowd, when I was six, I did that thing. And the crowd was around me, and they were all impressed. So maybe I should do music. But at the time, I couldn't sing to save my life, because I had smoked and stuff. So, yeah.
So where's school in all of this? I mean, if you had to go through such a process, yeah. I imagine it interfered with your schooling.
Yeah, I mean, I finished 3 years later. When I was doing my matric, my peers were third year students in university.
Okay.
Like, it was embarrassing. But so yeah, you can
You can laugh at your situation right now. Tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Going through a process like that, even though, you know, you found God in the process, you found your calling, which is music, you're pursuing that.
Yeah.
In your adulthood, knowing what you know now.
Yeah.
Is there any specific part of your life that has been affected by that process that you can point to?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm an addict, you know, to some degree.
Addict?
I started, when I was doing all those things, I started doing drugs and stuff.
What kind of drugs were you doing?
Drugs, weed, you know, the stuff that you find in the township in Soweto, you know. At the time, the biggest thing was mandrax, you know. Now it's Nyaope, and if I was younger, I'd probably just end up doing Nyaope, you know.
So are you still doing this?
I battle with that, like, even today. Like, I try not to smoke or not to drink. I don't smoke. I don't drink. Heck, I don't even eat meat, you know.
Okay.
So.
But substance, are you?
Nah, I don't use anything.
You don't use anything anymore.
Yeah, if it knocks you out a little bit, I try to keep away from it, because I know of my past. So that's how it's my adult life. I look at adults who do it responsibly now, because I did it in a very young age, before 18. So it's not so responsible. And I look at adults who do, like, substances, like legal substances.
Yeah.
And I envy them. You know, because they doing it at a time when they can handle it, and I can't do it now because I'm afraid I might lose myself again.
Yeah, well. Do you ever get tempted to use,
like, maybe alcohol when I'm with friends?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little drinks. I mean, he's an avid drinker. I
doesn't
sometimes
look anything like a drinker, by the way.
Okay, sometimes, you know, I want to just partake, you know, like any other guy, and just chill, you know, grab a beer, you know. I can't, though.
Yeah.
You know, I can't.
Your upbringing.
Sure.
Where do the system that brought you up, mm-hmm. being your family, where do they fit in all of this? How do they feel about everything you went through? Were they present at the time, and what kind of damage did it have on the family?
Yeah, I was raised by a single parent who raised me and my three other siblings with cousins, two cousins, and an uncle. So it was just weird, you know. Small house, smack right in the middle of Protea North, which is supposed to be like the suburb of Soweto, you know. But, like, trust you me, I didn't go through any, like, unnecessary pleasures in Soweto. Like, it was in Protea, it was really tough. Like, and my mom, you know, was a great provider until, of course, she had to she lost it, you know. She lost she developed bipolar at some point, because we lost our sister. Our eldest sister passed on. It was a really tragic story. She passed on whilst traveling to Durban.
Yeah.
And she was caught in the middle of, like, the taxi wars. There was taxi wars some point. And yeah, she suffered. She was one of the people who were in the taxi that, you know, was shot at or something. And she passed on, and then she got lost. Then my mom had to go look for her over a year. And she lost it. My mom lost it. She developed bipolar. And then that's when I started like becoming like this ratchet kid, because yeah. I wanted attention. My mom was sick, so there was a lot of leeway. And you know what happens in families? In families, when things fall apart, like the family falls apart. Like people start not talking, they start not, you know, thinking about each other, start fighting for food if there's, yeah. there's limited resources, you start fighting for everything, you know. And yeah, I mean, that's what I went through, I mean, personally. But like it built me, you know. Now I know better. I try to make the right decisions all the time. Even when I'm failing, I know I'm not doing as bad as I should, you know. I'm really doing great, like like constantly, you know, from that rock bottom that I was, like, even it wasn't my fault. Half of it wasn't my fault, you know, I was still
yeah.
a kid.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I carry that with me even today. Like, I really try to do the right things constantly.
Something Soweto, ladies and gentlemen, you were a part of the soil.
Yeah.
From the beginning. Tell us that story. What happened?
No, I'm very excited to have a platform to talk about that these days. Because yeah. at some point I couldn't.
Yeah.
Not that I was stopped or whatever. Like, I just felt like no one would believe me. You know what I mean?
Was it because of how well they're doing?
Yeah, it was. They were doing amazing. And they did amazing, like, after we recorded an album. I wrote like most of the songs there, like, and you know, and I didn't know I was writing most of the songs
yeah.
till like I had to leave,
yeah.
and then we had to write publishing forms because I'd never seen a publishing form before I left. So what a publishing form entails in music is that it gives credit to whoever did whatever.
Yeah.
And after I left, I was confronted with publishing forms. And then I had to like now disclose exactly what I did in particular songs. And then that's when I realized, like, oh, I actually wrote these songs, you know. So like that was super great for me. But at the same time, I felt like I couldn't talk about it because, like I said, no one would believe me. Like people would listen to my songs and I'd say, yo, you know, I'm singing on that song. They'd be like, nah, yeah, you lie.
Tell me about leaving, the process of you leaving. Why was the reason? What was the reason you for you to leave in the soil?
It's simple. So when I started my career, I started with the soil. But at some point, the soil members matriculated. I was still in school.
Yep.
They matriculated. Same peers, by the way. Same peer group. They matriculated and they had to go to varsity. And the lady, Ubuhle, had to go to work.
Yeah.
Whilst I was still in high school. And by the time I was finishing high school, I was constantly going back and forth from my life at home to my life at varsity.
Mm.
So in between the times when I didn't meet the guys for the soil stuff in the Val University, I was doing other projects. Now I started something Soweto. Which was like an acapella, in my mind it was an acapella group, another acapella group.
Yes.
With the soil. Did something similar to the soil because I felt like there wasn't, no one else was doing what the soil was doing. And we needed to popularize the sound as
yes.
soon as possible in order to make money off of it.
Yeah.
So I made another imprint called Something Soweto, which is what I go by now, but it wasn't meant to be that. And then I was doing another group called The Fridge. The Fridge was a new band, a new jazz band, formed in Melville. We did like our version of new jazz. And it, you know, it was working out. So when we got signed with The Soil, I was now doing three things. So I was really not focused on The Soil alone. I was doing other things because I had the time. But like Ubawusipostole, who owns Native Rhythms, was like, yo, you have to focus on one. And I'd like you to focus on this. And you can't really do others. You know,
do you have any regrets?
For leaving the group?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yes. Why? And no. Why yes and no?
I regret the way I left.
Was it acrimonious?
What does that mean?
Were there problems between the two of you?
No. So here's the other thing I always have to like disclose. There was never any beef between me and the guys. What got between us was the company.
Okay.
You know? The decision that I took not to listen to the company okay. that signed us to focus on one. That's what got in the middle. But creatively, socially, there's nothing wrong with us. And that's why it's such a tragedy, if you think about it, because we've never been able to mend all those other things that were never wrong because of this one thing that kind of broke us apart.
Did you maintain any kind of personal relationship with the members of the group?
No, like I said, you know, like that, the business kind of spilled over into everything else. So okay. like, I can't say I know them as people because it was a very long time. It was more than 6 years ago.
What happens when you meet up?
I haven't met them. We don't go, we don't chill the same circles.
How long has it been?
It's been six, more than 6 years ago.
So, you have not been in, nah, in the same room as the Soil?
No, like, first of all, the Soil is, the A-listers in the industry itself. So, some of the shows that they play, I've not had the honor to play. And so, that ensures that we don't meet professionally.
Okay.
I'm hoping, like, at some point.
How do you feel about them? Honestly, like, if you were... Take away the business, take away the reason why yeah. you left, and focus on you right now.
Yeah.
How do you feel about members of the Soil individually?
Well, personally, ne, I don't feel any ill will against them. I think they had to do what they had to do, and they did it amazing.
Do you miss anything about them?
About the sound, about them personally?
Yeah.
Ash, I know what I miss about them is long gone. They're different people now.
Okay.
It's been 6 years. I'm sure they're not the same. I'm not the same either. You know,
is there anything that needs to be resolved between the two of you?
Between the two groups?
Do you think between yourself
and the guys?
Do you think there's any feelings to be resolved at all?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, look, I've gone out on a limb every interview that I've had the honor to be on and really spoke about this honestly. And there's nothing that I think they did that I wouldn't do myself.
Would you greet them if you ran into them?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Something so right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about the obvious now, which is Akana Mali.
Yeah.
Big song. You went and obviously teamed up with someone else because you had a plan. You obviously had a plan.
Yeah, I had a plan.
So how much of your plan came together into fruition?
Well,
knowing what you know now.
Yeah, my thing was just, you know, I knew I wasn't part of the conversation when it comes to mainstream. I mean, I have my cult following. After leaving the Soil, some people like still paid attention to me, but most people didn't discover me till now. And I tried to maintain my following that I left with as much as I could, but it was really tough because I was going through like a little bit of a depression because, you know, of the things that were happening and seeing my former group like flourishing and I'm sitting at home like without a plan. But yeah, I mean, I tried to output music as much as I could. And I knew that in order to, you know, be like a player in this urban game, because I've never been, I had to come up with an urban song. And I knew I couldn't come up with one by myself because that's not what I do.
Yeah.
I do vocals. You know, that's what I do. So I teamed up with Usanel. Usanele is called, he goes by the name Sanel Musician. And yeah, I called him up. I was like, yo, respect your work. This is the song. It's the song idea I have. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but if you can work on it, it would be great. He was like amazing. He took the song. He was like, yo, I'll give it the time and I'll work on it. And it took him a few months though, you
okay.
know, of me waiting and stuff. But what I love about what he did, he really respected my voice artistically.
Yeah,
he didn't put too much on it, you know. The song itself, like, he just complimented, we compliment each other's work.
It's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
It's an absolutely yeah. stunning song. At what point did you realize you had a hit on your hands?
I don't even know. I, to be really honest with you, to be super honest with you, it's only after the sync deal, the ads that we got, that I kind of, I thought, okay, maybe this is like a big deal. But before then, like, oh, and maybe, and the gigs, like, I've been getting like crazy gigs, requests. December has been like the busiest of my whole entire life. Like, I end up playing like more than like what, 6 shows a weekend. Like, that's insane, right? I never thought I'd ever do that. Apart, before that started happening, this only started happening the last 2 months. So last month and this month. 4 months ago, I was sitting at home with no understanding of what was happening to the song. The song literally was doing its own thing. It, you know, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know. I was like, I went from walking to a McDonald's buying my food like any other time to a month later walking in and like the staff is like mobbing me for a picture. You know what I mean? Like, it's still, it's.
How does that make you feel?
It feels great. I mean, it feels awesome. Like, we live for that as musicians, you know?
Yeah.
You write those songs, you're hoping people are gonna love them, and then when they finally do, like, it's awesome. Like, oh, but there are times when it's like really awkward though.
Would you say your life has changed, and in what way has it changed?
Definitely, man. Definitely. Like,
money?
I have more money now. A little bit more than what I'm used to, right?
Okay.
Because of the gigs, of course, and but apart from that, I still maintain the same team. I keep the same friends around, and I'm just happy. My mom is happy, you know.
What has been the most surprising thing you heard about yourself, or someone said to you? With your newfound success.
Yeah. That I'm humble. Yeah, people say I'm humble. I don't think I'm humble.
I think I'm humble. Are.
Nah. I'm far from it. Hey. Like, I'm a douche.
I think you are. I think humility is something you... It's not easy to see it in yourself.
Yeah.
But it's very easy for me... Because it's perspective based.
Yeah.
I have frame of reference right now because I've been speaking to you, and during the time I had spoken to you, there are questions that I would ask you, and the way in which you approach your the questions, it says a lot about you, where you're coming from. I can tell where you're coming from based on how you answer me, and I think you are humble. Maybe you must just embrace it.
Yeah, I don't think I want to embrace that. Because at some point I'm gonna act up, because maybe I'm pissed off or whatever, and then that's gonna be my prison. People are gonna say, you're not so humble after
all. No, but you're a sensible guy. I think you're a sensible guy. You're open minded, and it looks like this is coming at the right time for you, because you have this refreshing self awareness about you and what's happening. So your eyes are wide open.
Yeah.
And I think that's by far the most important thing you could actually do for yourself at this point in time. Look, we are a live performance show, despite the fact that you have quite a story, my friend. And I hope at some point there's going to be some kind of documentation, even if it's in the form of a book.
Yeah.
I really think it's a story that's worth telling and worth sharing. You have a band member, I suppose, here with you?
Together.
So what song are you going to perform for us?
We're going to do Now and Then.
Okay.
But we could do Aganama. Let's just get it out of the way.
Okay.
Because I know people love that song.
All right. Something Soweto, ladies and gentlemen. Performing the biggest song in the continent.
I don't know. get me sane. Chatan jalo buya falo. Sa ta ra 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 ki gam ta. Ay abona pincha. Hangi la lim pincha. Ki gam ta. Tango ti semba ki gam ta. I saw my melas game sap. Tepa mina hacha. In some ta. Sometimes doing uncle to so low. I'm gonna take up a cold song for a bangan bangu. Sometimes doing uncle to so low. I'm gonna take up a cold song for a tandy money bona. Long for I'm gonna money. I got to stand up, you're getting to a kicking jump. Stop a run, I'm gonna mind. I got to stand up, you're getting to a kicking jump. Stop a run, I'm gonna mind. I got to stand up, you're getting to a kicking jump. Za tarun lan, I'm gonna man. Akta chanda yo, yo ke gin to ki ki ko wo. Za tarun lan, na di ta ni na, na na la 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 la, oh la la la. As not that na ta na 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 ni la ni ah, na na la 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 la. Oh, let me, oh, it's not, I'm gonna mind. Quite a tanda, you're kicking to a kicking on bomb. Oh, that I'm not, I'm gonna mind. Quite a tanda, you're kicking to a kicking on bomb. Hey. He said, Panta gazinkati, when you saw Ingi, no seas a car, Tima, Casabo, Shobunga. I say, what Shunamalanga, a pet to give me yaka, and the matches on Tala. What to say, Samuse, when no, and he say, Capanta gazinkati. When the salva ingi losses as a carla, the monkas a push of bunga go. If I say, Shana Malanga, a pet to give me your car, and the matches on down. What to say, say, I got that money. I got that.
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Africa Experience. The number one African music vault.
All right, we're coming back. Stay with us. Akana Mali. Absolute classic, man. An instant classic. Perfect song for this perfect wedding season as well. Akana Mali in studio. We are live with the man himself, Something Soweto. If you're just joining us, sadly, we are about to wrap up. But fortunately for you, this discussion will be available as a podcast. That's 30 minutes on the other side of the show. So you will have an opportunity to listen to this at any time of your choosing. What a song, man. Like, what's going to happen now? Are you under pressure to beat this?
No, not really. I mean, as far as everyone is concerned, I should be.
Yeah.
but for me, it's like, nah. Because this is an urban song, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not an urban artist.
Okay, so you're not going to go back to this?
I mean, I want to.
Yeah.
But, you know, all within reason.
Okay.
You know, all within, like, good reason.
Bounds.
Yeah, yeah, so I'll definitely make my way towards it. But I won't dwell on it because I have a whole world of music to produce and to present.
So it was a nice segue into
people's homes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now you can showcase what you are about.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it did wonders for both of us, me and Sanel, musician.
Yeah.
So he can, you know, shine because he's been working behind the scenes forever, and I mean, I don't think I've been working behind the scenes. I've just been not working. So yeah, now that, you know, we have this, you know, we can.
What do you want to do now? Now that you have all of this attention, who do you want to work with?
Well, I mean, I've requests. You know, I'm hoping to work with Donald, the singer.
Okay.
He's amazing. You know, I'm hoping to work with him. I'm hoping to work in the urban space with, like, DJ Maporisa.
Okay.
I've also linked up with him, or maybe even DJ Cleo in the urban space. But as far as, like, you know, my jazz and stuff and all the other a cappella stuff, you know, I don't know. I'll see. Psyche is really jumping out of nowhere right now.
Yeah.
For me, in my head. There's a group called Umle. That's from the Eastern Cape in Port Elizabeth. Yeah, they're amazing. I mean, there's a few. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. There's Bolocha, who I was with.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He is absolutely amazing.
There's Bolocha. You know, I mean, the world is open to me. And you know, I'm happy to be received by musicians. You know, everyone has shown interest. Everyone I've mentioned has shown interest to work with me. So, yeah.
Okay, final short performance.
Yeah, we're going to do Now and Then. We always do Now and Then.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
Something Soweto. This is Now and Then. And also, our final performance with Something Soweto.
You ready?
Yeah.
Come on. 1, 2, 3.
It's that time of the day. Time to get back to the sit back, relax, and enjoy. The only Africa experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
I can come there.
Ego tala pofu kom nandi nangongu po nangoku. Agin tombi sango tala sasivu kekseni manambo koku hase pente manasale koleni songe takmpoku asatmpe datum tarum tarito. Eko neni so ponke datum po panbo asarata sarum datum po ponke ato lamba po tulari file pampa tela yo pa polonda lote ato lamba mo tulari file pampa tela yo pa polonda.
Man, what a joy you are to talk to. I think more than just being a great artist, obviously, you have this peace about you, which is so refreshing.
Amen.
Yeah, so well done, man, and keep up the good work. Listen, may you continue to soar the skies and grow beyond your wildest imagination. I hope to hang out with you again at some point when you have a new project or anything you would like to share with our audience members. Please come back and share yourself with
us.
We love what you do.
Back when I have a new project.
There is definitely space for an artist of your caliber in the market today. And I think there's a desperate need for an artist of your caliber today. So
I hear you, man.
Congratulations on everything, my brother.
Thank you.
All right. So we continue with the show.
O'Neill Africa Experience. Africa Experience. The number one African music vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back again next week, Friday. Thank you very much for enjoying your time with us. And much love to my producer, Palesa, for putting the show together. And everybody who was involved in ensuring that the show sounded as good as it did. Much love. We out of here. Thank you.
The O'Neill Africa Experience. The home of African talent. CliffCentral.com.